Chapter 13. Lexi kept herself busy the rest of the day with baking and waiting on customers. Sometime in between frosting chocolate brownies and filling cream puffs, Anna had called, wanting to know about the case, and to have Lexi look over an invoice from the bank's birthday party. Since Lexi was already planning to stop at Nan's that evening to go over the clues, she arranged for Anna to meet her there. Anna's catering van was already parked in the back of the lot when Lexi arrived at the retirement center. Anna jumped out of the van with some papers in her hand. "Hey, Lexi, how's it going?" "Great. How about you? Has your catering business suffered at all because of the, incident?" Lexi grimaced. "No. Thankfully, nothing got in the press, so I don't think any customers have been scared off. But I heard about Winston Banks, and I'm a bit worried. I thought you guys said he was the killer." "We thought he was," Lexi said. She started toward the entrance, balancing the coffee cake she'd brought in one hand. Anna fell in step next to her. "We actually have pictures of him handing over the money he owed. But just because he's dead doesn't prove he wasn't the killer." Anna scrunched her face up. "True, but it does add a strange twist, doesn't it?" "It sure does." Lexi opened the glass door, and the two navigated the halls to Nan's apartment. "I brought this invoice from the bank's birthday party. I've had a heck of a time getting Cora to pay me. But I guess rich people like to hold on to their money for as long as they can." Lexi laughed. "That's for sure. That's how they stay rich. Anyway, I was hoping you could look it over and make sure I have the bakery prices correct." "No problem. We'll do that first thing, and then we can discuss the plan of action with Nan's and the ladies." Lexi's fist tapped on Nan's door, which opened immediately. "We've been waiting for you." Nan's pulled her inside, where Ida was ready to relieve her of the bakery box. Ida smiled as she peered inside the box. "Oh, I love coffee cake." Ruth and Helen were already seated at the table. The whiteboard sat in its usual place against the wall. Lexi could see the ladies had been busy updating it with new information. Nan's got coffees for Anna and Lexi, and they all sat down at the table. Anna slid the invoice over to Lexi. "Let's just get this out of the way." Lexi looked down the list of items, squeezing her eyes shut and mentally comparing the list to what she'd delivered at the party. "Looks good." She hovered a pen over the bottom of the invoice, where she could see Cora's signature of two scrawls, with a large C and S at the beginning of each scrawl. "Should I sign under Cora?" "If you just initial it, that will be fine," Anna said. Nan's pushed her chair out and stood at the whiteboard. "If you ladies are done, we can get on with it." Lexi and Anna nodded, and everyone turned their attention to Nan's. "Okay, then, let's recap. Since Winston's death, we've been looking at other suspects. His wife Evelyn is high on our list because she would gain the most financially, and also because she didn't agree with the company business. But since Regis had the stipulation in his will that all stock be kept amongst his children, she won't get any of Winston's stock and won't gain a controlling interest in the company." Anna's eyes widened. "But how do you think she killed him? The paper said he died of a heart attack." "We figure she probably used some sort of poison. She could have put it in his breakfast, or maybe she gave him a bagged lunch or something. Some toxins don't take effect right away. He died in an early morning meeting at work, so he was most likely poisoned there or shortly after he left home." "Using poison is a similar method to how Regis died. He died from his food allergy. These types of methods are preferred by women because they are not messy or bloody, Ruth chimed in. Do you think she killed Regis, too? Anna asked. She may be a very clever killer. Nance tapped something on the whiteboard under the motive category. She may have planned it out from the beginning. Kill off Regis first, so Winston inherits the money. Then kill Winston and get it all for herself. I did notice at the birthday party that she and Winston didn't seem to get along, Lexi said. Gosh, I don't think it could be her. Anna shook her head. I talked to her quite a bit when planning the party, and she was very nice. A kind and loving person. She didn't seem to care very much about money. I can't picture that she planned this whole thing out in cold blood, just for financial gain. Nan smiled. Like I told Lexi, those are the ones you have to watch out for. So what's the plan? Ruth spread her arms, looking at Nan's. How do we prove she's the killer? We need to catch her at something. Nan's picked her coffee cup up from the table and sipped. If she is the killer, she has something to hide. Maybe the poison she used for Winston, or the photos from the party. And she'll need to dispose of that incriminating evidence, Ida added. And the best way to catch her doing that is to have her under surveillance, Nan said. But not in Ruth's car. Helen paused her forkful of coffee cake halfway to her mouth. That big old boat stands out too much, and we almost got caught when we tailed Winston. We need a much smaller, less obvious car. Everyone turned to look at Lexi, and her stomach did a nervous somersault. Oh, no, not me. Jack wouldn't like that. Plus, I have too much work to catch up on to go around tailing suspects. But I think I know someone who would love to help. Lexi pulled out her phone and dialed Norman. Hey, Norman. How would you like to help us stake out Winston's killer?
Winston's killer?
Norman's voice was hushed.
Word around here is he died of a heart attack. Although, I do admit, I had my suspicions when I heard it.
We're suspicious, too. Nance wants to do a stakeout on our prime suspect to see if she can pick up any evidence. But they don't want to use Ruth's car. It's too noticeable. Are you game to use yours?
Sure. That would be great. I'd love to see how your grandmother and her friends operate. I could learn a lot from them.
Lexi frowned. Really?
Of course. Oh, and I got that information you guys wanted? About the people who opposed developing the land on Meadow Lane? Turns out, a lot of people opposed it, not the least of which is Steve Warren, who owns the Fur Fun Canine Center.
Oh, really? Lexi's brows lifted. That's interesting.
And I found out something else, too.
Norman's voice was laced with excitement. Lexi could picture him huddled over his phone, whispering into it.
It seems there was a big controversy about that land way back when Banks Development bought it. Regis practically stole the land from the Silversteins, using all kinds of dirty tricks on the poor elderly farmer and his wife. The land had been in the family for generations. The farmer came on hard times, and Banks took advantage through some shady loan. Practically threw the couple and the granddaughter they were raising out on the street. He made a big stink in the press, but nothing could be done since Regis never actually did anything illegal.
That sounds like him, Lexi said. I bet there's plenty more stories like that.
I'll keep digging, Norman said, and I'll bring the list of the opposers tonight. What time should we meet?
I won't be going, but you can come over to the retirement center tonight at... Lexi eyed Nans.
7 o'clock, Nans said. Tell him we'll pack some sandwiches and snacks to keep us fortified.
Lexi relayed the information to Norman, then disconnected.
Now, if we only had an inside track to Winston's autopsy results...
Helen glanced sideways at Lexi.
Maybe you could call Jack.
You know Jack doesn't like to talk about cases to me, Lexi said. Then sighed at the puppy dog faces Nans, Ruth, Ida, and Helen gave her.
All right, but I'm not going to press him.
Lexi still had her phone in her hand, so she tapped in Jack's number and waited for him to answer.
Hi, Lexi.
Jack's voice sounded relaxed, which was good. Not only did she hate to bother him when he was busy, but she could never get any good information out of him when he was trying to rush off the phone.
Hi, hon. I'm here with Nans and the gang. We were wondering about Winston Banks.
Anything specifically?
Jack's voice was guarded.
Did you have an autopsy done?
Yes, as a matter of fact, we did.
Lexi's pulse picked up a notch with excitement. Nans came over next to her, and Lexi held the phone out from her ear so Nans could listen in.
Did you find anything unusual?
Well, not per se, Jack said. On the surface, it looks like he had a heart attack.
But... Lexi let the word hang. She could tell Jack had his doubts. She just hoped he'd voice them.
It's just that something doesn't sit right. I mean, with him dying so close to his father, and Winston didn't have any history of heart disease.
Nans leaned closer and yelled into the phone.
Jack, it's Mona.
Hi, Mona. I figured you'd get on the line sooner or later.
Listen, I think it might be in your best interest to do a broad toxicology test, not the standard one that's typically done. I have a theory.
Sure, Mona. I'm sure the medical examiner won't mind doing that, especially when I tell him my wife's grandmother has a theory,
Jack said with good-natured sarcasm. He didn't like it when Lexi and Nans tried to investigate on their own. But the truth was, he had a lot of respect for Nans' detecting skills and had even asked the ladies to consult on certain cases.
Just tell him I'll bring him one of my apple pies, Nans said.
Jack laughed. I'll see what I can do. I gotta run. See you at home tonight, Lexi.
Apple pie? Lexi asked Nans as she put down the phone. Nans smiled.
Mike, the medical examiner, loves my pies.
Those pies sure do come in handy as bribes, Ida said.
I'm not above throwing out an apple pie bribe to further the case.
Nans went to the whiteboard and updated it with the new information.
Well, it does sound like Jack has doubts, and you know, his instincts are spot on.
Ruth broke off a piece of coffee cake and stuffed it in her mouth.
Just in case he's not, there's another suspect I think we should look at, Lexi said.
Who?
Nans wrinkled her brow at Lexi.
Olivia.
Lexi told them about her conversation with Olivia and Steve at the canine center.
They were acting strange, evasive. I know they are hiding something. And Steve was one of the big opposers to the land development out there.
But what would Olivia have to gain from killing both Regis and Winston?
Helen asked. I don't know. But in the conversation I overheard, they seemed afraid someone might find out about the food. And Steve said he'd take care of it. Lexi chewed her bottom lip. Maybe they killed Regis and Winston was on to them. So they killed Winston to keep him quiet.
How would they have had access to poison Winston?
Helen asked.
We're not sure he was poisoned, Ruth said. Helen rolled her eyes. Right, but either way, they would have had to have access to him in order to kill him. He was Olivia's brother. Maybe they met before the meeting. Maybe Olivia was at the office, Lexi suggested. The other thing is that I recognized Steve, or his back, anyway. He was the person that blocked my view from the ice creams at the birthday party.
You mean the one you saw under hypnosis?
Helen asked. Lexi nodded. He was up at the head table, and Olivia was sitting right next to Regis, so either one of them could have switched the ice cream.
One of them could have created a diversion, and the other switched them, Ruth said.
What was he doing at Regis' birthday party if he opposed the development? Ida asked. I would think they would be opponents of sorts.
True, but Olivia and he are tight, so she probably invited him, Lexi said. Nan scribbled a note about Olivia and Steve on the board.
It doesn't hurt to cover all the angles. Will you be able to check into that further, Lexi?
Yes. In fact, there's an agility event tonight that will give me the perfect excuse to snoop around. Lexi looked at her watch. But I better get going if I want to get there on time.
Great. So it's settled, Nan said. We'll stake out Evelyn, and Lexi will dig into Olivia and Steve's secret. We'll meet back here tomorrow at 0900 sharp.
Perfect. Lexi pushed herself away from the table. I'll walk out with you, Anna offered. The two girls were almost out in the hall when Nance called after them.
Oh, and Lexi, don't forget to bring plenty of pastries when we meet tomorrow morning.